Okay, this week is Parshas Vayakel. We get a break this week. We only have one Parsha. One Parsha, normally back when it's connected, we only have one Parsha. It's an Ibyar. But we have a bonus. And the bonus is also Shabbos Shkolim. Mevarchim Chodesh Adar. Mevarchim Chodesh Adar Shein. Okay. I saw a beautiful word from Rabbi Shur. Rabbi Avraham Shur says that just like Elul is the introduction, is the hachana, the preparation for Tishrei. Tishrei is in one respect is the Rosh Hashanah. It's the new year, right? We call it Rosh Hashanah for a reason. It's the Yom Hadin. It's the new year for the world. So we're coming soon to Rosh Hashanah for Klal Yisrael. Chodesh Hazel Lachem Rosh Chodeshim is Chodesh Nisan. Adar is the month that precedes the new year. It has to be that if Elul, we know that Elul is a time when Ani Lidodi V'Dodi Li is a time when we make hachanas, make preparations to prepare for the Yom Hadin, of Rosh Hashanah. So Elul, so Chodesh Adar this year, Adar Sheni is the month that is the hachanas, the preparation for Nisan. What exactly is the difference? So it's very simple. The difference is Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei is a tkuf of Yira. It's a time of Midas Hadin. It's the Yom Hadin. The month before the Midas Hadin, we prepare through Din. We prepare through the Shofar. The Shofar is an expression, it's something which causes us to become afraid. We do tshuva, we do slichus. Elul, Adar, is the Chodesh of Ahava. It's the Chodesh of Hachana for Nisan. Nisan is a tkufa of love. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed Klal Yisrael, Yitzias Mitzrayim, there's no greater expression of love. The entire Chodesh Adar, Mishem Nichnas Adar, Marbe V'Simcha, it's Simcha verse Yira. And Chodesh Elul, it's Mishem Nichnas Elul, Yemarbim with Yira as Hachana for the Yimei Hadin. But when it comes to Nisan, Nisan is a tkufa of Ahava. We need a full month of preparation to come to the Madrega of what is required of us in Chodesh Nisan, and that is Chodesh Adar. Adar is a tkufa of Mishem Nichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha, a tkufa of Purim. There's a parallel of Elul verse Adar. Elul is to Tishrei what Adar is to Nisan, or vice versa. Adar is to Nisan what Elul is to Tishrei. One is in the world of Din and Yira, and the other is in the Din of Ahava and Chesed. Okay, let's go to another idea. We have here a mention of the Nisim. This is a vart from Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's a very typical vart. Rav Moshe Feinstein, many of his Chidushei Torah are about Chinuch Habanim, the Chinuch in leadership. He has a certain chush for Torah relating to these ideas. And in the beginning of the parasha, we learn about the Nisim. The Nisim, they brought the Avnei Shoyam and the Avnei Miluim. The Hanesiim heviu Eis Avnei Hashoyam, the Eis Avnei Hamiluim, lo Eifod v'lachayshem. And they're listed here at the very, very end of all of the gifts. All the gifts that were brought for the Beis HaMikdash and the Mishkan, they come at the very end. And Rashi asked the question, why is it that the word of the Hanesiim is missing the letter Yud? And Rashi tells us because they made a fatal mistake. They said that let everyone bring whatever they want. Let Klal Yisrael bring whatever they want. Let them bring the gold, the silver, the copper, the atzei shitim, and all the tcheles, argamon, tolashoni, v'chulu v'chulu. And whatever is missing, we will take care of. You do your best. You hear this very often with people. They go and they say, we'll fill in the gaps. You do what you can do and we'll fill in the gaps. And Hashem was not pleased with this approach, because when it comes to give a donation, when it comes to build a Beis HaMikdash, don't go make cheshbonos. You do what you have to do. You give right away. Don't say we'll come along at the very end and we'll fill it in. Whatever needs to be done. They should have given their donations immediately. And they made a mistake. They delayed. And everyone else gave donations. And then the only thing that was, they it turned out that everything was more than that was needed. V'amalacha hoy sadayam v'hoyser. There was more than what was needed. There was nothing left for them to do. There was nothing left for them to bring. So therefore, they had no choice. They had to go bring the Avnei Shoyam, the Avnei Mil. They found something to bring. They found something to bring Now, because of this mistake, when it came to the Chanukah HaMizbeach, when it came to actually the inauguration of the Beis Hamikdash, they learned from their mistake, and they were the first to bring korbanos. The Nesiim, the princes, insisted that they should be the first ones to bring korbanos as tshuva for making the mistake and delaying and waiting till the very end, because they almost had nothing to bring because they waited too long. Because they made this mistake and they were criticized, the Rashi says their name is spelled without a yud. The Hanesiim Heviu, the word Nesiim is missing a yud. The yud is not there. Okay, let me clarify, in case I'm making it clear, Rashi over here says, Omar Rabbi Nassan, Ma ro Nesiim lisnadei b'chanukas ha-mizbech b'tchila. Why? Later in Parashas Noso, were they first? U'melechas ha-mishko lo yisnadei b'tchila, elo, kach amu Nesiim, the Nesiim said, yisnadevu tzibur mashe misnadvim, let them bring whatever they want to bring, u'mashe mechas shenonu mashlimo, so we'll finish, we'll conclude it. Kevan sheshlimu ha-tzibur es ha-kol, shenev ha-melech ha-yisodayom, amu Nesiim ma'alein ha-lasois. So they brought something. They brought now. By the way, why just derech agav? Why is this not called? They did bring something. The answer is the avnei miluim, the avnei achoshen. That's not part of the mishkan. They really were left out. That was part of the big day kahuna. There was instructions to bring objects, to bring material to build the mishkan. The nesiim lost out. There's nothing in the mishkan that they brought. The entire structure of the mishkan. Every single one of the utensils in the Mishkan was donated by the Hamoin Am. The Nesiim had no part. The only thing they brought was something for the Big Day Kahuna. But the Big Day Kahuna is not the same Madrega as the Mishkan itself. They permanently were lost out on the Mishkan because they had a wrong hashkafa in giving donations to the Beis HaMikdash. And that's why their name, the term used to describe them is missing the letter Yud.
Okay, now they used this as a speech one time.
Encouraged to collect money. Don't hold.
We're going to build it with you or without you. Do you want a chela?
Exactly. Don't go hold back. Chavetz Chaim, that was his approach. Chavetz Chaim, when he would collect money, he would say, I'm coming to do you a favor. Could you imagine a fundraiser today saying this? I'm coming to give you an opportunity to have a chelik in the Makom Torah. And therefore, I don't want to take too much. Because if I take too much, other people are not going to have a chance. You can't be a chazer. So only take from you what a certain amount of money. That worked. You see, the Chavetz Chaim said it, he believed it, and that's why it worked. If I would say that, they would say, okay, it's okay, we have our own merits, we don't need you to do fundraising. Okay, but the Rav Moshe is a very powerful Rav Moshe. What exactly was the chait? Define the chait. Define in very, very, very specifically what exactly was the chait. Okay, we just said. You just said from Rabbi Vayevsky, my friend, said is because it's not a good attitude. When you come to give and make a donation to a Makom Torah, to a Makom Chashuv, don't make cheshbonos, just give. Don't go start saying, everyone else give, we'll come at the end, we'll come and save the day. Okay, that's one very popular approach. But Moshe says it's something much more powerful. The Nesiim are responsible for their people. The Nesiim did not believe in the Tzibur. The Nesiim did not believe that the people, the Tzibur, would come through and given all the money for the Beis HaMikdash. These people, well, how much money do we need? $20 million? Our people, the most they'll give is $1 million. The most we squeeze out of them. We'll come and we'll give the other $19 million. That was their mistake. The Tzibur gave the $20 million. You did not believe in your people. The worst quality a Rebbe can have is if the Rebbe does not believe in the students. If you believe in your students, if you believe in your balabatim, you believe in your people, they can accomplish things that under normal circumstances they could not accomplish. That is a chait. It's a terrible chait. And like we mentioned before, from the Alter of Slobodka, the people, they complain to him that your talmidim are fooling you. They walk around and they think, they make you think that other tzaddikim and the Yerushalayim. Come on, who are they fooling? And you, the altar, you're misleading them. You're letting them fake you. So the altar says, I know exactly that they're faking me. I know they're not holding where they should be holding. But I want to fake them. I want to let them deceive me, because I believe in them. I believe that they can be what they want to be. Right now, they may not be holding at that madrega, but if this is what they want to be, they can raise themselves up to that level. The goal of the Nesim, according to Rav Moshe, was to give the people to put them in a frame of mind where they believe they can accomplish the impossible. And if the Nesim make a statement from the very beginning, okay, you do what you can do and we'll fill up the gap. You're basically telling your people your failures. You're doomed for failure. You'll never survive. That's a tremendous chait. The Nesim should right away say, we also want to have a part, because our people, they're so great. They'll fill up, they'll bring so much, the donation will be so great that we won't. They'll come ahead of us. This is the message Rav Moshe learns from the, and that is why the letter Yud is missing from their name. Okay, let's go to another idea. In this week's parasha, we learn about Shabbos. The parasha begins, "Vayakov Moshe is called Asma Yeshavim Leila Hadmashu Tivashem Es Moshe Leishesh Yamim Teosem Melacha." The first thing we learn is Shabbos. "Uvayim Hashvi Yelachem Kodesh Shabbos Avsel Hashem Kol Ha'isa Melacha Melacha Yumas." And then after we have Shabbos, then we go into the describing of the Mishkan. We go into very great detail of the actual building of the Mishkan. Now this idea has been paralleled from Parashas Kisisa. And Parashas Kisisa, the beginning of Parashas Kisisa, also begins with Shabbos. It starts with Shabbos. But this is following after we finish the Kiyar and the Besamim. Okay, end of the first Ali in Parashas Kisisa is the parsha of Shabbos. Ushmartem es ha-Shabbos ki kodesh hilochem. What came right before Shabbos? It was the tail end of the items needed for the Mishkan. The besamim, the shemen ha-mishcha, the besamim, and the kiyar, the three things that were the last three details of the Mishkan. In other words, there are two plus parashos that describe the building of the Mishkan. Parashas Truma, Parashas Tetzaveh, and the first Aliyah of Parashas Kisisa. After the first Aliyah of Parashas Kisisa concludes with the Kiyar, the Besamim, and the Shemen HaMishcha, we then mention Shabbos. Rashi tells us why is Shabbos connected to the end of the building of the Mishkan, to teach you that don't think that the building of the Mishkan is Doiche Shabbos. Don't make that mistake that it's Doiche Shabbos. It's not Doiche Shabbos. I want you to build the Beis HaMikdash, but you still have to keep Shabbos. And then we have the Parsha of the Egel. The Mishkan is over, the instructions are over, Shabbos has been taught, the lesson has been taught, and then we have the Egel. Now comes Parashas Vayakel. We start all over again, but first, Shabbos appears first. And then we come to the Mishkan. And Rashi says exactly the same thing. Why again is there a connection between the Mishkan and Shabbos, even though here it's in the reverse order? Okay, that's another discussion, why it's in the reverse order. The reason why they're juxtaposed is to remind us, even though I want you to build a Mishkan, but building of the Mishkan is not Doiche Shabbos. Okay, there are many reasons why the order is reversed. The most popular answer I've seen is because before Mishkan is a luxury for Klal Yisrael, Shabbos is a necessity. There's no such thing as being a Jew without observing Shabbos. Having a Mishkan, a Beis HaMikdash, the Ashuras HaShchina, that's a luxury, that's not a necessity. Before the Chet HaEgel, when you love a person, the Mashal is always giving a Chassan. When a father marries off a son, the Mashal is he has two sons. One son he loves, and one son he does not get along with. But it's a son, he has to marry him off. When it comes to marry off a son, you have to buy certain things that are necessities. You got to set up a home. And then there are luxuries. You buy a silver atara, you buy a gold watch. There are necessities and there are luxuries. What does the father buy his son first when the son gets engaged? So the mashal is, that when if you love your son, the first thing you buy him is the gold watch or the collar, whichever way you want to go look at it. The first thing you buy a son who you love is, oh, you're a chassan, let's get you a beautiful talis. Let's get you a gold watch. Let's get you a beautiful leichter. The luxuries. Okay, now we have to find an apartment where you're going to live. Now we have to find you a job. We have to do this, we got to do that. Someone who you love, the first thing you give are the luxuries, are the bonuses. Then you give the necessities. But if the father does not get along with his son, or the shver does not get along with his future son-in-law, the first thing, oh, you want a gold watch, a chasen shas. After the chasana, we'll get you the gold watch and the shas. First, let's take care of the necessities. Let's take care of setting up a home, and then we'll get you the luxuries. So that's the nimshal. Nimshal of here is when it comes to Shabbos. The Mishkan is a luxury. Shabbos is a necessity. Before the Chei Ta'egel, Klal Yisrael was chaviv in the eyes of Hashem. When Klal Yisrael was chaviv, what did Hashem tell them first? He told them first the luxuries, the Mishkan. After he taught us, gave us the luxury of the Mishkan, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Shabbos, told us about Shabbos, which is the basic necessity of Yiddishkeit. After the Chei Ta'egel, when we were no longer in the same relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we were reviewing these halachas once again, first Hashem presents Shabbos, the necessities. To be Jewish, you have to have a Shabbos. Then, after you have the Shabbos, then let's talk about the Mishkan, which is the luxury. Okay, but even though the order is in reverse, but it is presented, these two concepts are taught, are very critical. They are totally zebezeh. Another reason why they're very critical is because there's something called Kedusha Sazman and Kedusha Samokon. The Mishkan represents a Kedusha in location. In location. Shabbos represents the concept of Kedusha in Zman, in time. And the two are totally zebezeh. Actually, we say this every single day in the Avnim, the Baruch of Atah Kodesh, Shimcha Kodesh, Kedusha Mechol Yom Yehalucha Selah, which parallels Kodesh, Kodesh, Kodesh. And the Targum translates, what's Kedusha? There's Kedusha in Mokoyim. The first Kedusha is in Shamayim, and then there's Kedusha in the Oretz, and then the third Kodesh is Kadish La'olam, Ulyom Elmaya, is in Zman. Zman. There's Kedusha in Mokam. There's two Mokamais. There's the Mokam Ha'elyon and the Mokam Ha'tachtoin. And the third Kedusha is Kedusha in Zman. The two are totally Zebezeh. You cannot separate Kedusha from Mokam from Kedusha of Zman. The Mikdash is the most sacred in Kedusha HaMokam. And Shabbos is the most sacred in Kedusha HaZman. Okay. Now that we have that, there's a discrepancy though. What's the discrepancy? In Parashas Vayakel, when we describe the Mishkan, Sheshes Yomim Teoseh. Teoseh is, which the form of Teoseh, it should not be done. It's not focusing on the person. It's focusing like the Gavra and the Chefza. It's focusing on Melacha should not be done. In Parashas Kisisa, when we're taught this message that there is something called Shabbos, the word is Sheshes Yomim Yeoseh. You, the person, Yeoseh Melacha. So the question over here is why, when we taught the lesson of Shabbos in Parashas Kisisa, does the pasuk use the word Sheshes Yomim Yeoseh Melacha? 6 days you may do Melacha, whereas in Parashas Vayakel it says Sheshes Yomim Teoseh Melacha. So the answer is as follows. I saw that. What?
Passive voice.
They're both passive, but one focuses on the person and one focuses on the object. So what is the difference? So I saw an answer. I do not remember where I saw this answer, but I think there's a very powerful Luman Musar in this answer. The answer is, in Parashas, going back to our other question, why is the order reversed? In Parashas Kisisa, we are first presented with the order of the Mishkan. First is Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, and then Shabbos. So by the time you come to Shabbos, the Mishkan already is complete. There's nothing more to do. The Mokom Hashem, the place, the Mokom Hashuas Hashchin is complete. You were just dealing now with man's private melacha. Man's private melacha, we use the word Yeoseh. In Parashas Vayakel, Shabbos is taught to us before the building of the Mishkan. So they're going to have to apply the laws of Shabbos in relation to the building of the Mishkan. Here it says, when you come to the Mishkan, te'oset. Now let's take a step back. The halacha is, shvisas kelim, there's no halacha of shvisas kelim. On Shabbos, the only thing you're not allowed to do is, you cannot do work. But you are permitted to allow your possessions, your kelim, to do work. A person has a mill. A person has any type of utensil. It's allowed to do malach on Shabbos. You have animals have to rest. But if you have some type of object that is doing boineh, a machine, let's say you took it modern terms, you have electronical devices that are doing malacha on Shabbos, they're doing things that you cannot do. I am not allowed to sew. I am not allowed to build. I am not allowed to any type of malacha. But if you have a machine that you own is doing that malacha for you on Shabbos, it is mutter. There is no halacha anywhere in the Torah that shvisas kelim is asr. Shvisas kelim is mutter. The only thing that cannot be done on Shabbos is you. You cannot do malacha. Shvisas adam is what's required. So here is the difference. Mikra din it's mutter. When it comes to the previous parsh ki sisa, the malacha that you would want to do is not going to be being done for the Beis HaMikdash or for the Mishkan, because that already has been complete. When the Pasuk says Sheishim Yi'ase, it's purely private. Private? You don't do malacha, but you could allow your utensils to do malacha for you on Shabbos. When it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, when the Torah tells us do not allow work to be done, it's being written before the Mishkan is being built. And what it's basically saying is, when it comes to a davasha b'kedusha, I demand of you a higher standard. Even though technically your kelim are allowed to do malacha, since the malacha you're going to be doing now is before the building of the Mishkan, which means the malacha you're doing is before the Mishkan, when it comes to a davasha b'kedusha, you have to realize, sheishes yamim te'aseh. Even the kelim, even your objects, even should not be built on Shabbos. There are many heterim to do malacha, for malacha business to be done on Shabbos. When it comes to private matters for yourself, where they're not davar shebekedusha, the halacha is shvisas kelim is mutter. But when it comes to a davar shebekedusha, the Torah says te'ase. You don't. Not only should you not do it, it's not bakovedik that the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan should have been built through Chil Shabbos, even if the Chil Shabbos was done in an ofan of heter. It's just not bakovedik. If you have a place that's going to be a shul, let's say you have a shul, let's say modern example, and the shul, you can hire a contractor to do the malacha, and no one knows what they're doing. The shul is that they're going to do the work inside, and there's not going to be any zilzul barabim, and it's a kablon, so there's no prohibition. So me'ikar hadin, the shul can be built on Shabbos. There's no violation. From the nuance of this, the difference between the way it's described in Parashas Vayakel verse, the way it's described in Kisisa, we learn it's still not the right thing. It's not bakovedik. It's not, when it comes to davar shebekedusha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is demanding a higher standard. Te'aseh. All of your work, all of the objects that you're going to need to use for the Beis HaMikdash, all of it should be done. Even if you're not the one that's doing it, even if it's being done through Goyim, it's being done through Kalim, it should be done during the 6 days of the week and not on Shabbos, because it's just not a Bakovedik thing that a Dovasha B'Kedusha should have been created, should have been formed through the Chil Shabbos. And that is a very powerful limud Musa for everything that we do in life, because in life there are certain things that are Dvar Mesha B'Kedusha, and even though according to the letter of the law and according to all the technicalities there are heterim, there are legal loopholes in how to do things that do not violate Halacha, but it just doesn't, what's the expression in Yiddish, it doesn't pass. It doesn't have the flavor, the tam, to do something even though technically it's mutter. And this is seen from this very slight nuance between Ye'ose and Te'ose. Okay, let's go to another idea. Here's another, this is a drush. This is a very interesting little drush. Go to a wedding. Okay, last night I went to a wedding, anytime you go to a wedding. So a wedding can cost tens of thousands of dollars, at least. And everything is fine and beautiful. What's the purpose of the wedding? The purpose of the wedding is that the chassan should marry the kala. Right? Isn't that what it's all about? How does the chassan marry the kala? What is the moment, the most critical moment when the chassan marries the kala, when he takes the ring and he says to her, Hare at nekudeshes li bitabas zo kidas Moshe Yisrael. That's the most critical moment of the wedding. Photographer, right? That's what it's all about. What from that pasuk, from that expression, what is the most critical word of that expression? Hare at nekudeshes. Which word is critical? If you leave out the word, it's not good. If you leave out any word of Hare at, if you leave out any word, possibly it might be a good kiddushin. Even if you leave the word mikudesh, it's harayat li b'tabazo. It could very well be that you're still married. There's only one word, maybe not, I don't know, but there's only one word that you really blew it. If you don't say the word li. Harayat, if a man says to the kala, harayat mikudeshes b'tabazo kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, and you don't say the word li, definitely without any question, the woman is not married. She's not married. Who's she married to? What, me? Who says me? Who says the girl wants you? Maybe the girl wants someone else. Maybe the husband is a shliach. It is not a valid nusach to use in marriage to say harayat without the word li. It is the most critical word. When you go to a wedding and you see them spend $100,000 on a beautiful wedding, the most critical word in this operation, which everything depends upon, is the word li. If you don't say the word li, forget about it. Now come over here to this week's parasha. There are very few Rashis in Parashas Vayakel. It's a real breeze to learn Rashi this week. And there's one very mysterious Rashi. Rashi, in the beginning of the parasha, says, Zehab, let me read the Pasuk Dalet, Vayoyimer Moshe. This is the beginning, this is the opening parasha of the Melechus HaMishkan. First we discuss the Inyan of Shabbos, and then we come to Vayoyim Moshe, El Kodas Neishol Lemar, Zehadavar, Asher Tziva Hashem Lemar. The following is the matter which Hashem commanded, saying, Rashi has one word, Zehadavar Asher Tziva Hashem Li Lemar Lochem. Rashi adds two words into the pasuk. If you really want to understand the pasuk in its full entirety, read it, Zehadavar, this is the matter, Asher Tziva Hashem Li. Hashem commanded me, Lemar, to say Lochem to you. That's what Rashi says. See, it's two words. Li Lemar Lochem. Now you can basically say this Rashi. Rashi can write these words on any pasuk in the Torah. Vayidab Hashem Moshe Lemar. Vayidab Hashem Moshe. Vayidab. Well, here it says Moshe, but there are many other. Well, here also it says Vayidab Vayomer. Okay, but there are many psukim you can say exactly the same thing. While here is Rashi, will be coming to emphasize that Hashem said to me to say to you. So it's a tough question, and there are many svarim which try to answer what Rashi really is trying to say. But let's not work at this moment with pshat. Let's work with drush. The drush is, just take the three words, and the three words are, Li Lemar Lochem. Li Lemar Lochem means Hashem, what did Hashem tell Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael? That everything that you do you're about to do in this, the next two parshios, Vayakel Pekudei, shall be L'Shem Shamayim, shall be Li. It should be done to me, say to them. Li doesn't mean, Alderich Jewish, it doesn't mean Hashem spoke to me, Moshe Rabbeinu, to say to you. Hashem said to Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael that when you build the Mishkan, say a L'Shem Yichud. I'm building the Mishkan L'Shem Shamayim. It should be done L'Shem Shamayim. Here Klal Yisrael about to embark on the greatest mission in their history, to build a place of Hashuas Hashchina. It's a beautiful building, and everyone is excited, and they're donating vast sums of money, and everything looks fine and wonderful. But are you doing it L'Shem Shamayim? What's this all about? There was once a Rosh Yeshiva, and he would give a clap on the mim every so often and tell the Talmidim, stop learning. I just want to remind you that there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. Just because you're sitting behasmada rabba learning a daf gemara, don't forget the reason why you're learning the gemara is because you're here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can get all worked up and swept away in a project of building a Beis HaKnesses, building a Beis Medrash, embarking on a chesed project, and what is it for? For kavod. It's to be in the papers. It's all for show. Now you'll say it's not all for show. There's a nitzah that's L'Shem Shamayim. But as we all know in life, things get very complicated, and there's politics, and there are many things which get out of hand, and sometimes you lose sight of what is the purpose of all this, what is it all about. The message over here is the very first pasuk of building a Mishkan. A Mishkan is the Mokom where Hashem Shechina will reside in this world. Vayomer Moshe El Kol Adas Bnei Yisrael Lemar Zeh Hadavar. This is the only thing that counts. Zehad Asher Tziva Hashem Lemar. Rashi, what is the Zehadavar? Rashi is Fataiching Al Derech Dush. What is the Zehadavar? Li Lemar Lochem. Tell them that when they build the Beis HaMikdash, forget about the covenant, forget about politics, forget about all of their ulterior motives. Tell them, Li, build it for me, build it L'Shem Shemayim. That's what you shall tell them. That's the Zeh HaDavar. Just like we can relate that when you go to a wedding, if the chassan doesn't say the word Li, he doesn't say Li, they're not married. The whole show is a waste of time. She's not an Esh HaSish. They forgot to say one word under the chuppah. It's nonsense. It has to be Mekudesh HaSli. So too, you build a Mishkan, it should be L'Shem Shemayim. Okay, let's go to another idea. Rav Schwab has a fascinating chiddush here in Parashas Vayakel explaining the inyan of Shabbos. Rav Schwab says that we know that Shabbos appears in the Aseres Dibros twice, the first set and the second set, and for different reasons. In the Luchos Rishonos, the reason for Shabbos is given as a zecher for the creation of the world. Hashem created the world. Sheshes yom masu Hashem es hashmayim v'yasaretz v'yom hashvi'i shabbos v'yinafash. But there's another reason why we observe Shabbos, and that's the reason that it's given in Luchos Shniyos, in Parashas Va'eschanan. It's a zecher for Yitzias Mitzrayim. You were slaves in Egypt. Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, and as a remembrance of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Hashem wants that we should rest on Shabbos to focus on zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Midrashim Chazal elaborate what is the connection between Shabbos and Yitzias Mitzrayim. Possibly the more popular approaches is that in Mitzrayim, Moshe Rabbeinu he convinced Paro that it would be in his best interest for the Jewish people to rest one day a week. Shabbos, Moshe was mechavein to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there should be something called a day of rest of Shabbos, and Moshe used that day to be mechazek Klal Yisrael in Emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On that day they had off from work, Moshe gathered Klal Yisrael, Moshe, who was known already to be the Redeemer, the Goyal, he gathered them and was mechazek them in Yonei Emunah. And then when Hashem took Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, Hashem says, the Mitzrayim, the Shabbos that you observed in Mitzrayim, which was mechazek you in Yonei Emunah to prepare you for Yitzias Mitzrayim, this is going to be now an essential part of Yadus, Zecher li Yitzias Mitzrayim. When we observe Shabbos, we are observing, we are going back to our roots, the moments of Emunah when we were in Egypt, which brought us to a degree of Yira Shemayim to prepare us for Yitzias Mitzrayim. In addition to recognizing that we observe Shabbos because Hashem created the world on 6 days and rested on the seventh day. So there are two different mahalchim, dimensions in Shabbos. There's a Shabbos observe Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim, and there's a Zecher of Shabbos Zecher for Maaseh Bereishis. Now I'm elaborating around Shabbos. He doesn't say what I'm going to say now. He doesn't say every detail, but most of it he said there in Rav Schwab on this week's Parsha Vayakel. Here in this week's Parsha Vayakel, we learn about Shabbos twice. We learn about Shabbos right in the very beginning. Vayakel Moshe es kol adas bnei Yisrael, vayim alehim eilah adam asher tzibah Hashem la'asos asam, sheish es yamim, tiyasa melacha. And in fact, the pasuk gives one very interesting example of Shabbos observance, and that is, lo sivaru eish b'chol moshvo seichem yom ha-shabbos. It's very interesting. Why does it say, why from this example, there are 39 melachas. Why pick eish? Why eish from all of the other 39 melachas? Lo sivaru eish. So there's Gemara Rashi here quotes, the machlekes, does it mean l'lav yotzeis, l'chalek yotzeis, according to one opinion in the Gemara, there's no chiyav skila. There's no chiyav karis for havara on Shabbos. Havara on Shabbos, at most, is a loisase. Okay, we don't pass like that. We pass as a chidachil, it's a chiyav misa. But that's the topic. Why the question is better than the answer. Why from all of the lama test malachos did the pasuk select the iser of havara, kindling a fire on Shabbos, as one that is an example from all the various possibilities. Now, the truth is we have another reference to Shabbos in this week's parasha. We spent some time on about this 2 days this week, and that is Haitzah. When they began to build the Mishkan, as part of the preparation for the building of the Mishkan, they were asked to give donations, and the report was sent to Moshe that they have more than they need. Moshe issued a command that people should stop giving. And the words, Moshe, Vayomril Moshe, Marbim ha'om lehavi midei ha'avodil l'molocha asher tzivu Hashem l'asasam v'yitzav Moshe, Vayaviru kol b'machane le'emar ish v'isha, al yasu od molocha l'shuma sakodesh v'yikolei ha'om lehavi. From this pasuk we learn there's a prohibition to carry from a rishos hayochid to a rishos harabim. You're not allowed to carry from Rishos Hayochid to Rishos Harabim, because Moshe part everything, all the source for the 39 malachas comes from the building of the Mishkan. Anything that was necessary in the building of the Mishkan automatically becomes one of the categories of malacha for Shabbos. And one of the things that was necessary was to bring donations from a Rishos Hayochid to Machane Leviyah, which was a Rishos Harabim. And Moshe said to stop, so we learned that this was done. We learn here the malacha of Haitzah. This is the basic makar for the malacha of Haitzah. In fact, in Masechta Shabbos, Masechta Shabbos begins, the first parak is Yitzios HaShabbos. And the first Taitzis there is to question why from all the 39 categories of labor did the Masechta Shabbos given with Yitzios HaShabbos. And Taitzis says because it needs chizuk. From the 39 categories of malacha, Haitzah is the weakest. What is the essence of malacha? Creative labor. To fashion something new, to create something new. Haitzah, you're not doing anything. The object is the same object it was yesterday. The only difference is location. Today, it's in this moment it's here, and in this moment it's here. You have not done any creative labor. You've transferred. It's called a malacha garua. It's a weak. There's an inherent weakness in this malacha, and therefore it needs chizuk. It needs chizuk. That's why it has to appear in the beginning of the Masechta. And for this reason, that's where Rav Schwab elaborates, others elaborate, that's why we find when it comes to carrying on Shabbos, it's something which requires chizuk. There's an eruv. Eruv has to be done. It has to be done in a proper way. Chazal have embellished the way that we carry on Shabbos through an eruvei chatzeros, through shitufei movos. There's a whole mesech. The Chazal have added many safeguards and many additional layers of mitzvos in order to be permitted to carry in a proper way. Me'ikar hadin, you only need 3 walls. You don't have to have 4 walls. Me'ikar hadin, you don't need an eruvi chatzero shetufei mevos. Chazal said, not so fast. You can't even carry from your apartment to the hallway unless you have an eruvi chatzero. They've added so many layers of stringency into carrying because haitzah is a malacha garua. It is a weak malacha. People will just trample all over it because you're not really doing creative labor. Okay, now Schwab goes a step further. Now here's not exactly what he says, but I want to just use his idea. And he says, when we observe Shabbos, we're going to break up all of the malachas now into 2 categories: 38 malachas on one side, and 1 malacha on the other side. Avraham or Ivri. The malacha, the 38 are all the malachas except for haitzah, carrying. On the other side of the fence is the malacha of carrying. We've just related 1 moment ago that there are 2 reasons why we observe Shabbos. We observe Shabbos, and 1 dimension of Shabbos observance comes from the creation of the world. And the other dimension of Shabbos observance is Zecher Yitzias Mitzrayim. Rav Schwab says that haitzah is a derivative, is the primary derivative of Yitzias Mitzrayim. The other 39 categories of labor are derivatives of Briyas Ha'olam, the creation of the world. It's not that there are 39 and it's catch-all, all 39, Yitzias Mitzrayim, all 39 are creation of the world. Now that we know there are two different reasons why we observe Shabbos, and we know there are two different categories of Malacha, there are the 38, which are all the same, except for Havar, which we'll come to, and then there is the Yitziah, we can very cleverly split them up. And it's very logical, because what is the melacha of Haitzah? Is to transfer, to take an object from one rishus and transfer it to a different rishus. What is the essence of Yitzias Mitzrayim? Hashem took us. He took us from one rishus, one power, one area, to a new rishus. He took us from slaves in Egypt, under the authority of Paro, to under his authority. It was a hoitzah merishus lirishus. So every time we are careful not to be mechalal Shabbos in the form of carrying, and through Eruvei Chatzeros and Shitufei Mevos and all of the complex laws of Hilchos Erevin, this is all primarily a zecher of Yitzias Mitzrayim. We are Hashem's people. He took us out of Mitzrayim. When we observe the other 38 malachas, what are those malachas? Creative labor. You are taking a yesh, you're creating from yesh me'ayin. You're taking nothing, and you're creating something. I'm plowing the field, I'm producing a product, I'm building a house, I'm making food, I'm building, I'm creating something. That all is rooted in the creation of the world. Hashem also created something. He created a world. Yesh me'ayin. We create things out of nothing. We take parts, and we do constructive labor. Oh, not yesh me'ayin mamish, but you understand what I mean? We do constructive labor. Two different avenues. Now with this idea, it doesn't say this, Rashi, but I think we can go a step further. Why the pasuk then answers this mystery? Why then we focus specifically, why we focus on Havara? Havara, l'chora, would be the best way to fulfill Shabbos. Think about it. On Shabbos, maybe the mitzvah of Shabbos, the way we commemorate Shabbos, how do you commemorate Shabbos? Commemorate Shabbos by lighting a fire. When you light a fire, what are you doing? You're going backwards. Combustion. Whenever there's combustion, you're taking matter and you're destroying it. You're going from yesh. You're going from yesh to ayin. You're not from ayin to yesh. Hashem created the world by taking nothing and creating something. When you take something and you destroy, you obliterate it, you're going back to nothing. By burning a fire on Shabbos, one may be misled to believe this is the ultimate zecher for the Bria Sa'ila. We're going back. Where did this world come from? Where are our roots? This world came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shabbos is the day where we acknowledge that we return to the moment of creation. The moment of creation, there was nothing. And Hashem fashioned this world. The 37 of the malachas bring out that point. I mean, are you creating? But maybe by destroying... No, you have to also remember, what I'm saying is not lahalacha, but it's in concept it's true. Because lahalacha, when you make a fire on Shabbos, it must be for constructive purpose. If you make a fire on Shabbos to destroy something, you potter. Person lights a fire to destroy a piece of wood, to destroy something that's mekalkel. The kindling of a fire must be constructive to produce coals. Yeah, the only time you chayv with the raisa for kindling a fire is when the fire is for a constructive purpose. It's not bishul. Bishul is cooking, that's a separate malacha. But just lighting a fire, you have to produce a coal. So it's for constructive purpose. But still, even though it's for a constructive purpose, in essence, what are you doing when you kindle a fire? You are destroying. If you're destroying, you're taking matter and you're going back to a state of nothingness. Going back to a state of nothingness to some degree is exactly what Shabbos is all about. You're going back to the creation. And that the Pasuk says, no, don't make that mistake. Pasuk has to specify from all of the 30 since the beginning. So in other words, what we're doing over here is, before we begin the Mishkan, Shabbos appears in this parasha twice. It appears in the construction of the Mishkan, and it appears before we begin to build the Mishkan. Why do we have to mention Shabbos twice? Because the Torah here is teaching us the two dimensions of Shabbos. First, there's Shabbos of Maisei Bereishis. That's the beginning of Ayakel Moshe's Kol Adas Meishol. Let's forget about the Mishkan. There's Maisei Bereishis. And Maisei Bereishis, we commemorate Hashem created the world. One would be misled to believe that if it has to be constructive, but if you're doing destruction, an act which in essence destroys something back to its to nothingness, maybe that is what Hashem wants. That is Adrab. That is a remembrance of Maisei Bereishis. No. Don't kindle fire. Even that is aser. Then we come to the building of the Mishkan, and then we focus on the second dimension of Shabbos, the dimension of Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mirishus Lirishus. It also explains that why it says B'chol Moshvo Seichem by Havara, because it comes out another chiddush from Rav Schwab says, is that when you observe Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses, think about it, when we observe Shabbos, what is the Minag Yisrael? There are really two major ways we commemorate Shabbos. At home and in shul. In ancient times, not so long ago, people did not go to shul every day. The Beis HaKnesses, people busy, got to work. You got to go to work. Not everyone has an opportunity to come to shul three times a day. But Shabbos is the time when you come to shul. Because Shabbos, there is no work, you come to shul. That's why Chazal Masakim Kriyas HaTorah. You lay in the parish on Shabbos. You daven Musaf on Shabbos. There's no Tirchot Tzibur on Shabbos. During the week, everything is relaxed. Because during the weekday, not everyone has an opportunity. But Shabbos, you light candles, the Shalom Bayis. You have to light candles, Asherik, the Shalom, but it's Lahalik Ner Shal Shabbos, the Shalom Bayis. You observe Shabbos in the home, and you observe Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses. The Shabbos you observe in the home is primarily focused on Maisei Bereishis. When you come to shul, the unique service that is conducted in the Beis HaKnesses is primarily focused not on Maisei Bereishis. It's a focus on Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. That's what Rav Schwab really comes out and saying. There are two dimensions in Shabbos. The Mishkan. In the Mishkan, why am I saying that? Because where do we learn Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim? In the Mishkan. Havara Merishus Lirishus, to carry, that is learned from the building of the Mishkan. The building of, built into the building of the Mishkan is Yitzias Mitzrayim. Every Beis HaKnesses Bizman Hazeh is a Me'ein, is a Dugma, is a Mikdash Ma'at of the Mishkan. And in the only Melacha in the Mishkan itself that is explicit in the Torah, which brings out this theme of Hoitzah Merishus Lirishus, is Hoitzah. It doesn't say anywhere in the Pesukim all of the Melachas. The only Melacha that Chazal emphasizes is Yitzias Merishus Lirishus in the building of the Mishkan. And that represents Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. And our Bote Midrashos are in the Ein of the Mishkan. So it comes out that when we come to shul, and in shul, when we commemorate Shabbos, Kabbalah Shabbos in the Beis HaKnesses, davening in the Beis HaKnesses, all of the things that we do in the Beis HaKnesses are primarily focused on the dimension of Shabbos of Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. When you walk into your home, and you focus on Shabbos, there the focus on Shabbos is not Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. The focus is Zecher L'Maseh Bereishis. Vayichulu HaShemayim. What did Chazal select when we say for Kiddush Friday night? Vayichulu HaShemayim V'Oretz V'Chol Tzeva'am. Because that's the Kiddush you're making at home. In the Nusach HaTzvilah, the primary is Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. It's two. Can you say? We do have both. I want to say, what is the ik? You have to focus. What is the ik? You start off kiddush. There's a certain emphasis in zecher of Maisei Bereishis, and that's why when it comes to ish, b'chol moshvo seichem. All before you told me from the Baruch Nelson also, b'chol moshvo seichem is in contrast to the Beis Hamikdash. The similar reason why it says b'chol moshvo seichem is because in the Beis Hamikdash you were allowed to kindle fire for the korbanos. So in the Beis Hamikdash you can kindle fire, but b'chol moshvo seichem you're not allowed to kindle fire. But take it deeper. B'chol moshvel seichem, since this malacha of Havara is the prototype, is the model of all the malachas for the observance of Shabbos outside the Beis HaKnesses, which doesn't just mean you're observing the Shabbos, it means you're observing Shabbos with, from the dimension, the focus of Maisa Bereishis. Maisa Bereishis is b'ikar b'chol moshvel seichem. When you go into the Beis HaKnesses, you come together as a tzibur, then you're focusing on the dimension of Shabbos called Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. So we have over here a very beautiful Yisuf from Rav Schwab, and that is there are two dinim in Shabbos. The Aseres HaDibros, the two dinim, and there are two different categories of malacha. There are all the malachas, plus there is the malacha of Haitzah. Haitzah is the malacha Geruah. It's the opening daf of Masechta Shabbos, opening peret. It requires chizuk with the Neiruvi Chatzeros, the Shetuchumei Shetufim Mevos. Four walls, three walls are not enough. Layers of Chumrah. It's a malacha Geruah. It represents Haitzah Merishus Lerishus. This is built into the Mishkan, because the Mishkan is a natural extension of Zecher Liyitzias Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out Merishus Lerishus. Everything else, creative labor, is to parallel Hashem created the world. Which one serves as the leader of creative labor? Havara. Havara is fire. Maybe you would say just the opposite. Maybe you would say, like I told you, that you're destroying. Maybe Havara really represents it's the ultimate creative power. Because you need energy in order, maybe you could suggest is that in order to create something, you only can create something if you have energy. Energy is the catalyst of constructive labor. Nothing happens by itself. You need power, you need labor. Fire is the ultimate force of energy which can be used as a catalyst to create, to form, transform, and create. Therefore, it serves as the dogma, as the model of the creative force of the Koyach of Shabbos. Okay, let's go to another idea. Okay, let's talk about the Badim quickly. Okay, two quick things. The Badim, in this week's parasha, it's interesting. I saw that when it comes to the Badim appear on the Shulchan, the Badim appear on the Mizbeach HaZov, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, and on the Aron. But in this parasha, it's very interesting that the expression Botim LaBadim, the holes, only appear by everything except for the Aron. Okay, if we look at, let me give you one example. You look at, when it comes to, let's look at the first thing I can find. Let's find over here the Shulchan. Vayas es ha-shulchan atzei shitim. Okay, it says here that you should make vayitzoik l'arba taba'os. Okay, the rings, the taba'os zohov. Vayitines ha-taba'os al arba ha-peos in the four corners, asher li arba raglov. And then it goes on to say something very interesting. Lubas ha-miskeres hayu ha-taba'os. The ring should be right opposite the border, the miskeres. And then there are words which are not really necessary, but it says it. Botim labadim. Loseis es ha-shulchan. The purpose of these rings are to serve as batim. They are homes. They are a support for the poles. Well, of course, that's what the tabos are there for. But the pasuk emphasizes they are botim. Botim labadim. And it says the same thing when it comes to the Mizbeach HaKetores. It says levotim labadim. And it says it by the oilo. Okay, it says it by all of them. It says botim labadim. But when it comes to the oroin, vayas pitzalel es oroin atzei shitim, it says, "Vayitzek le'arbat haboy zahav, make four rings, al arba pamoisa v'shtei haboy saloi ho'echas v'shtei haboy sal saloi hashenis, vayas bade." And then it says, "Vayas bade atzei shitim." Why does the Torah not write the words "botim labadim" in reference to the Ora? It says it by everything else that requires badim, except for the aura. Haloi davar? What's going on here? So I want to suggest one of two answers, if I remember correctly. The one answer, first of all, there's another unique feature about the aron, and the aron was the only one that's written b'tzalel. Vayas b'tzalel yochid. The yochid is the one who made the aron. The other kelim, it says vayas, doesn't attribute it to a person. It says it was done by whoever made it. Doesn't specify an individual. By the Aron, it specifies an individual Betzala. And there are different reasons. He was Meiser Nefesh, or because his Aron was not to be replaced. In the time of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Aron. It was a one-time event. It was not to be replaced. And other Kalim were continuously replaced when they worn out. Okay, but what I'm saying is not unique, but not original. But I think the idea here is that because the Aron was made by one person, the Badim don't have batim. Let's elaborate. Let's say it in a little different way. What is the purpose of the badim? The badim of the Aron are very different than the badim of the shulchan and the two mizbechas. Well, how are they different? Well, first, you'll say they are not separated. Lo yosudu mimenu. And by the way, that doesn't say here either. That doesn't say v'lo. It does not say give you in parash vayakal b'halacha. They shall not be removed. And it says that by the other ones. It says it by the shulchan and it says it by the mizbeachos. But that does not say it. So we have to understand what is the nature, what is the symbolic meaning nature of the badim. So the old mafarshim say could be itzim chatzach medrash. It represents financial support. Financial support. And what about the badim of the shulchan? Do the Badim of the Shulchan represent financial support? Absolutely not. The Shulchan itself is money. So what are the Badim? Whatever they are, but it doesn't mean financial support. The Mizbeach needs financial support to be Meiser Nefesh Al Kiddush Hashem, to give your life Al Kiddush Hashem. You don't need, doesn't cost money, it's free. Doesn't cost money to be Meiser Nefesh. The only thing that Chazal say represent financial support are the Badim of the Aron. Because Torah is not free. Torah is free, but it still costs a lot of money. Torah costs money, it needs support. The Badim of the Aron represent financial support. When you only have one person building the Aron, then has a connotation that the financial support is being taken care of by one individual. One individual cannot succeed in carrying the load, the financial support of the Torah, and that's why the Mefarshim say does not say here lo yosudu mimenu, because it's inevitable. If the only one building the Aron is going to be a Betzalel, even though ideally the badim may not be removed, it's going to happen that the financial support is going to collapse because it cannot be that one person bears the entire load. But on a different line of reasoning, a different idea, is that the reason why it does not say batim labadim is there's a limud musar. When a person gives money to an organization, there is a tendency, it's human nature, I will tell you what to do. I feel very comfortable here in this organization. After all, who's paying the bills? If I'm supporting this organization, so I have a request, I want my son to be in a different class, I don't want this to be taught, I don't want this Rebbe to appear, it's only human nature that you will use your weight to pull all the strings.
Right.
That means I'm very calm. The badim represent the financial support. The word batim labadim means it's my bias. I'm comfortable. It has a connotation of comfort. Torah is giving musar. When there are badim attached to the Aron, meaning if you come to the Aron and you give financial support to the Aron, that's a beautiful thing. But there's no such thing in the Aron of batim labadim. Don't make yourself at home. The badim was the financial support. The batim are not there. You give support, that's very nice, that's very kind. But leave the decisions to the people who are in charge. The batim are absent. Okay, last concluding vart, I probably told this to you last time, but I have a chavivus for this vart, is that there's a discrepancy between Pavayakil and Parshas Truma in regard to the amudim. If you look back in Parshas Truma and we describe the amudim, the tops of the amudim are not covered. Very quickly, we're out of time, but over here in Parshas Vayakel, the end of the parasha. Let's just focus. There are two different sets of amudim, but let's just focus for a moment on one. The amudim of the courtyard. The amudim of the courtyard, there were, I think, 60 amudim. There were 60 amudim. The amudim, it's even the last pasuk. It's the last pasuk, but the second last pasuk, the amudim are ba'a. Okay, this referring over here to the west side. The east side, okay, the masach, but the same thing before as well. There are pillars that surrounded the courtyard. Vamudehem arba'a, v'adnehem arba'a, nechoshes, vavehem kesef. Their hooks are silver. V'tzipui roshehem. And the covering of their tips. You have to look in the art scroll or any type of illustration. You look at the pillars that surrounded the courtyard. The tip of the pillar, it says here, v'tzipui Rosh Shehem Vachashukehem. Chashukehem were rings. Which went around, designer rings. Designer rings ran around the Amudim were of Kosef, were of silver. And it says the same thing by all of the Amudim. All of the Amudim had. Okay, the amudim they had with tzipui rosh shehem kesef. It says that all the amudim they had silver, and the amudim that were in between the kodesh and the kodesh hakodashim were covered with gold. The tzipui. If you look back very carefully, we don't have time now. In Parashas Truma, you will notice there is no such instruction that the tzipui, the tips of the amudim, should have silver. So this is one of the big mysteries in the one of the major discrepancies between the way it's described in Parashas Truma and the way it was done in Parashas Vayakel. In Parashas Truma, when Hashem told Moshe to build the Mishkan, nowhere did He instruct him that the tips of the pillars should be covered with silver or gold. And then when Bezalel, he makes the Mishkan, he has a little embellishment. Oh, the tips of the amudim. Let's cover the tips. Tzipui roshehem kosef. My high. Where did Bezalel have a right to add any teeny detail into the building of the Mishkan? What's going on over here? All the Farshim ask this question, and some say no. He was allowed to have some embellishments. Hashem gives the person some rights to have some
license.
Okay, if we would try to do that, we would get in a lot of trouble. But Bezalel was given this license to do. Well, what is my high? What is it all about? So I want to suggest the following Yisoy. The Gemara says if a person wants to be Yorish Shemayim, you want to be a Yorish Shemayim, cover your head. And the Gemara has a stories. Kasei Reshech, cover your head. The covering of your head represents Yorish Shemayim. The Gemara also says that a person has Torah and does not have Chochmah. Do you know what he's comparable to? A custodian that has the keys to the inner chamber but does not have the keys to the outer chamber. Yorish Shemayim represents the outer courtyard. If you are Grois HaTalmud Chacham, you know what's in the Aron HaKodesh. I know what's inside, in the Mishkan. But I can't get in, because to get in, you don't have the keys to the outer chamber. So what do we learn from Chazal? Don't take these two Mamari Chazal, put them together. The outer courtyard, in the Mishkan, there's the inside and there's the outside. You have to go into the Mishkan. The Mishkan is the inside. The outside is the outer courtyard. The outside, Chazal tell us, is Yirah Shumayim. The inside is Torah. Chazal also tell us that Yirah Shemayim is expressed through the covering of your head. The covering of your head, it inspires Yirah Shemayim. That's why we all wear head coverings. Mo Hashem Elokecha Shoyel Me'imach Ki Im Liyirah Oysa Ein Loi LaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'olamo Elada El Ela Oitzer Bolum Shel Yira Shemayim. Chazal say all Hashem has in Shemayim, it's a different Chamayim Chazal, is an Oitzer of Yira Shemayim. Yira Shemayim is the contribution that we are permitted to add, we are instructed, we are permitted to add. The Tzipui Roshehem represents Yira Shemayim. Just like you have a head covering, a couple, you have a head covering, the Tzibi Roshayim, on the Chotzer, on Chitzayinah, on the outer courtyard, which is described in Chazal as the courtyard which of Yirah Shemayim. This is what Hashem gives you Rishus. Bezalel was within his license to Tzibi Roshayim Kesef, to cover the tips, because this is symbolically represents an expression of Hoysofa of Yirah Shemayim. Hakol Chutz Mi Yirah Shemayim. Exactly, everything is predetermined, but the Yirah Shemayim that you have a right. And this was symbolized, was enhanced, embellished into the actual building of the Mishkan with this discrepancy of Vitzipui Rasheyem Kosef. Okay, with that, have a wonderful Shabbos.
Why was it the Kashmir's first time?
The Kashmir's.